Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. This is the first one of the new year. I'm very, very sorry about the delay. We've just been busy, but we are hoping to get them out regularly from now on. I say hoping, without any real concrete plans to make that a certainty. So it's just hope without any action, really, which is the best kind of hope, isn't it? If you believe what you read on Facebook. So anyway, today's episode is with a very exciting comedian and massive hip-hop fan, Kay Curd. If you haven't checked him out, make sure you see him live. Very funny on social media. And he is very opinionated, which is what we like on the podcast. So I think you'll enjoy it. We chat all sorts of shit. And so that's it. Enjoy. And we'll be putting them out regularly as a result of some sort of action, which I'm going to take immediately after finishing this intro. Okay, Hip Hop Saved My Life. Enjoy.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Okay, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm here with Rumadge.
Hey man,
been how are you? Yeah, it's been a while. We're back, yeah?
Haven't seen you since that legendary night at the O2.
Yes, yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Raised a lot of money. 30 grand, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's amazing.
£29,000.
Yeah, rightly
it's good,
so.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The video, Kaz is Dead video, did you see that?
Yeah, they put together a little montage.
Yeah, it's good, right?
I didn't make an appearance in that.
No, I think you were in it, weren't you?
That was like the back of my head, maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, all good. How have you been? How's the pregnancy?
Good. We've got a due date, 10th of July.
10th of July, excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Except I'd be working, we're filming.
Yeah.
Actually, we shouldn't put that out because I haven't been announced it.
Has it not?
I will be working.
You'll be working. So we're allowed to talk about your pregnancy. We're not allowed to talk about this.
It's
this
not
show.
Connected to a channel, so yeah.
Okay, fine. The channel get annoyed. All right, fine.
But I've been doing Jai January.
Yeah, so, I have as well. I haven't drunk since probably that charity gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you finding it?
Just boring.
Yeah, I've become more boring.
Stage of clarity for like 2 weeks and you're quite focused and you get a load of stuff done and then it just sort of levels out and you're like, I'd like a beer now.
Yeah, well let's get our guest in because I feel like he might have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
Basically, our guest today is, I think, one of the most exciting new comics around. He is one of the founding members, I believe, of the Quotas for podcast. Yep. He's a hilarious guy. It's Kay Curd. Hello, Kay.
Thanks. I'm good, man. How are you? Thanks for having me. I'm excited. You had like everybody who hip-hop didn't save their life on this podcast way before me. I was just sat there listening to this podcast looking like, why the fuck is Tom Lucy on here? Like, why? People going, oh, Jay-Z's Black Album was the best album. Shut up, man. You hip-hop didn't save your life, bruv.
We've sorted out the booking policy.
Yeah. A lot of people get angry about who we have on this podcast. Doc Brown was annoyed, wasn't he? It took us long to get him. How's life treating you, Kay?
Look, it's all right, man. It's all right.
Do you drink?
the answer I give when I'm doing Muslim tours, no.
Right.
This is a Muslim podcast.
I've been drunk before, let's just say that. But fine. I don't really drink regularly.
Right. You've been doing dry probably January.
I probably do like dry 6 months and then in July I just hammer it.
Like. Does that mean your tolerance is like rock bottom? Like
No. Do you know what? The first time... am I going to be this honest? Right, the first time I ever had a drink was in Ocean Drive in Miami. I was 21.
That's how you do it.
And they offered me a tequila shot and I was just there like on a beach and my friend was taking both of them thinking like he's just going to neck both of them down for free. And then I was like, no, give it here. And he was like, what? Swear down, you're drinking. And I was like, yeah. And then from there, like I was just having like a whole bottle of Ciroc for the whole day. Like,
really?
Myself, yeah. So I was surprisingly high because I was always a big lad as well. So
So, but that didn't send you on a path of like just getting smashed all the time. Then you suddenly
no, I got smashed for that 10 days, and then right, I came right. back out, and then it was just like actually I got smashed before seeing like Jay-Z and Kanye.
Oh really?
At the O2 for the Watch the Throne tour, and this is like meant to be one of the best tours ever. And I just remember like bits and pieces of it because I blacked out. And then like I remember at one point before Paris came on, you know the song Paris.
Yeah.
I can't say the whole version of it for obvious reasons. Yeah, they what's it? I'd had a bottle of Kvosia and I went out for the toilet.
This guy is
so hip hop, Miami. Yeah.
How have we not had him on the podcast before, man? So he's fucking living that life.
So then hold on, yeah. The guy goes to me, the security guard comes and brings me back and he's like, "How much have you had to drink?" Amiga, don't worry, only a bottle. and then at the time, I don't know if you know a guy called Jamie Howard. He used to be a comedian.
Yes.
And he was like, No, he's with me. So he pushed me back into the crowd and then left me. So I was just there like when Paris with a bunch of strangers like
that. Because you're quite high energy anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
although
like,
that's changed a little
not
bit.
Not in an annoying kind of needy way. I don't mean it like that. But I mean like just sort of, you know, hyper. Not hyper, that's the wrong word. But you know.
I've had caffeine in it.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah, that's how I describe it. So you drunk, is that like, do you go more that way?
Well, that night I ended up taking off my top at the end. And
okay, so that answers that question.
You remember that bit?
Yeah, I remember. Like, and then I didn't notice. I didn't remember this bit, but apparently I was doing push-ups on the tube on the way home.
Okay.
So I don't know what the fuck was going.
We've all been there, mate. Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah, but yeah. I was younger at the time.
Yeah, sure. I get you. Yeah. The problem I've had since I haven't drunk for like I think it must be 6 weeks now, is that I'm starting to feel like, first of all, people that do drink, people do not like abstinence as a thing. People that continue to engage in a thing that you're not doing. They get angry. It makes people angry. Same way veganism makes people angry. Being teetotal makes people angry. So like, I went out for dinner with him. Actually, it's Friction. I went out for dinner with Friction and his wife. And he just wouldn't. He was just so angry that I wasn't drinking.
He has an expectation.
Yeah. Like, he was like,
"You should be getting on it."
He was like, "This ain't a proper night." I said, "We still have a meal. We'll still sit down and chat and that, but I just won't be drinking
what
alcohol."
What is that about people? Though? I don't get it. Like, I can have fun without it.
Because
like,
they associate you with having a good time.
Yeah, and also the truth is, and like this is what I had to sort of contend with, is that when I was drinking. Which, I mean, who knows, I might go back to it. But like, when I was drinking, people that don't drink, you sort of go, you sort of have, there's a certain thing in your head where you think, am I going to have as good a time with them if they're not drinking? But you are, I mean it.
Well, I've been in a few social situations, and I'm sort of nervous.
Wary
that I've sort of got nothing to say anymore.
I know. And mate, that is the thing. You start to overcompensate. You start getting a bit grabby with the anecdotes, you know what I mean? Like trying to be more excited.
Have you ever been sober when everybody else is drunk around you?
Yeah.
That's like the most, that was my whole uni experience.
Yeah. It's just, weird, isn't it? Because actually, the truth is, without alcohol, beyond 11:30 is at night is pointless. Really.
But even like, I don't understand why we all collectively decided it was cool to go to the club at 11 and then come back at 3 in the morning. Like, why not just start it fucking earlier, man? Yeah. I want to be in bed by 10.
I know. But that's the thing. They do daytime raves now.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Have you done them?
I went to one like it was a little brunch and I was like, this is fucking amazing. They feed you.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit of entertainment. You get wings, cake.
Yeah.
And then everybody has fun afterwards, and then you're back home by 8-9 o'clock.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you know what I mean? You don't really need to get a babysitter for that long.
You can have a day the next day.
Yeah.
It's great. Do we sound like old
that
pricks?
That is a positive.
Yeah.
Not I don't know, but I don't know who invented that whole, let's be up till 5. No.
Yeah, it's bullshit. Anyway, look, Kate, it is a delight to have you on the show.
No, thank you, man. I've really been excited.
Yeah. Because actually, I think you messaged me a while ago.
Years ago.
Saying, I think you messaged me a while ago.
Years ago. Exactly.
Yeah. It might have been years
on Facebook Messenger.
One reads that.
And it said something along the lines of, why have you got all these pricks that don't know anything about hip-hop?
I never said it like that, but probably thinking.
It was the implication was there.
It definitely was a couple of
years
ago.
No, but I'm a big fan of this podcast, man. I listen to it on the way to loads of gigs.
Appreciate it. And how's your podcast going?
Yeah, really good, man. Quotas Full. So essentially, it was just I had an idea and I was like, let me just get a bunch
of... Was it your idea?
It was my idea. Okay. Like, I bought the equipment.
What's it about?
But it's basically, he finds any black or brown people and gets them to...
Essentially, it's just a podcast with black or brown comedians. Right. And we just like talk about like current events and stuff and what's going on in our lives.
Funny.
Comedy and
funny.
Stuff. Yeah. We just have fun with it, man. Yeah. And it's doing really well. listenership. We're on YouTube as well, so it's filmed as well now as well. Yeah. So we've got all the...
Do people watch the filmed podcast?
Yeah, we get like people watching over... Like people, there's people, funnily enough, that have transitioned from listening to it to watching it. Like, yeah. So
maybe
much
we
better.
Should start filming this.
I do, yeah, but I, like, I'm sort of thinking about this experience now. Who the fuck wants to see this?
No, yeah, you never
just
know, man.
In a room.
There's some prick that's like putting these up on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's nothing
yeah.
to do with us.
Yeah.
If you are, please carry on. Because
we can't be fine. But it's a big thing.
That's such a comedian's response. Like, I don't know how to do it, so thanks for that, mate. Yeah.
But whereas but it's like that. It's, but no, but yeah, then I didn't realise. I didn't fucking realise you make money from it. Like, yeah, so every 10,000 views, you get like, I don't know how much you get, but you get a certain amount of money. Because there's that guy, isn't there?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, Arse Raptor.
Arse Raptor. Who just
that guy? Fucking hell, bruv.
I mean, he's
still on.
He is coining it in.
But why is he allowed to?
But I don't know. He's not got all the new Live at the Apollo sets. It's all the old ones.
Is that right?
Yeah, because all the new ones, the BBC have started uploading them themselves.
Why doesn't the BBC take them down? Or is it?
I don't
like,
know, because the thing is, the comedians seem to like it, because like, they're just like, I can't be bothered to rip that myself and put it on YouTube. But this guy's making money with no creative input. Fucking Arse Raptor.
Piece of shit.
You fucking son of a bitch, Arse Raptor. It's okay. fucking wanker. Arse Raptor. He's Arse Raptor in the comedy series.
You know, he's like some little kid from Somerset as well. That's just like a mad fan of
him.
Who
loves comedy.
Yeah, love
he's
comedy.
He's like Rummish's
number one
fan.
Yeah, he's like, well,
Rummish. Did you hear I got a shout out on Hip Hop Save My Life?
Oh, you
week.
Shouldn't listen to it, mate.
Here's a little bit that we like to pull. How did you get into hip hop?
So, Kay, how did you get into hip hop, mate?
Well, I'm from South London, so it was literally like it was either that or get bullied. So
Right. Was everybody into it at your school?
Yeah, apart from like the grungies. Yeah. You know, at the time, like it was like grungies versus like townies or whatever they called us. Like,
what's a grungy?
Yeah, it was like
grunge.
Like, they used to. Like,
well, how did you put two and two together like that?
I mean, this is coffee. It's my
skills
become
of deduction are incredible. So essentially I just started, but I, one of my cousins, like when I was 10 years old, he lives in Holland. So we went to Holland to visit my family there. And he was like a massive fan of like Tupac and the Outlaws and Ice-T and all these people. And he was like, man, you don't want to listen to anything else, bro. They are fake. These are the guys. So I was like, all right, cool. He's like, yeah, man, these are the real. And so he was listening to Ice-T and whatnot. And then I was like, okay, I'm getting into this. And Eminem was big. So.
Right.
At the time, so I bought a Marshall Mathers LP while I was out in Holland for like, it was like, at the time it was like guilders. It wasn't even the euro, I think. Yeah, it was like,
So you bought that, you know how old school K is?
I was waiting for
you
euros.
You bought that shit in guilders, mate.
What was the exchange rate back then?
I fucking have no clue, but bruv, I was like 10 years old and I saw it and asked my mum and dad for the money and I was looking, like, guilders were shit though, man. That was one of those... like currencies where you're just like, come on man, that can't be real.
Really?
Like,
yeah. And what were your parents like about you listening to that music? Because if you're 10 years old, listen to
my
Eminem.
My dad just used to take the piss out of, because my dad just calls it black music, right? like, if you, what's rap? Oh, black music, like that kind of thing, right? Yeah. So he used to be like, shalamala, pull, that's all I'm
that's
hearing.
That's all I know. My mum's like, are you listening to your motherfucker baka chaka?
My dad called it FSP music.
What's that?
Fuck shit piss. He genuinely, I think he still does. Don't mind it.
My dad basically was just like, why can't you listen to something respectable?
Right.
So my dad just thought to himself, like, if you listen to this, you're never going to become a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, he was right, but like, at the same time.
Called it. Totally.
Proved him correct.
So I was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, at the end of it. I mean, I was doing well in school, but he just hated it. Like, he just.
I can't figure out how I feel about that kind of the swearing in rap music. Because I now swear too much, probably, in my everyday language and in stand-up and everything. And, like, it probably is because of hip-hop. But at the same time, because I did, like, I did some Radio 2 interview the other day with Simon Mayo and Jay Wiley, right? And Simon Mayo, so they asked me to, like, suggest some songs that I'd like to be played. And then they said most of the stuff that I was suggesting wasn't, they couldn't put it on because it's like not on the Radio 2 playlist. Yeah. So I ended up like.
Surprise.
I know. So I ended up choosing some like Stevie Wonder song, right? Which was fine. There was a story to it. Over. Then Simon Mayo said, I was surprised he didn't pick hip hop. And then I told him. And he goes, what is it about hip hop? He wasn't asking in a having a go way. And he certainly wasn't holding, he certainly can't fucking hold me responsible. But like, he was going to me, what is it? When is it that hip hop started to become so sweary? And then I sort of thought, like, well, at that time, now it's a bit different. Like, if you want to put out a hip-hop record, you put out a hip-hop record. There's no gatekeeper. There are gatekeepers, but it's not to the same level now, right? But at that time, there were, like, four major labels that you had to go through to get your music out there. And so actually, they're controlling what goes out. So if hip-hop's got loads of swearing in it, it's because they've decided that's the stuff they want to sign.
Yeah,
right? USP, yeah. That's, is that, I don't know what that is, because the legacy of that is that Radio 2 is probably the most mainstream radio station now, right?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest. And Radio 2 can't play a lot of hip-hop. So in a way, it's been sort of counterproductive in terms of people still think of hip-hop as like this newfangled, you know, like capsule.
You're sounding like Africa Bambaataa right now.
He's been watching loads of
Netflix. But my point is, like, my point is, in a way, it sort of undermined it a little bit. Because, because hip-hop's like 40 years old. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it should be like...
It's just having back problems and
stuff. Yeah. Whereas, like, it's sort of, I don't know. I sort of...
I see what you're saying.
Well, like, just Radio 2 won't play a lot of hip-hop. Do you know what I mean?
Who cares?
Yeah, that is. I mean, that is a counter argument.
You've got like Spotify, you've got Apple Music, you can like, or DSPs as they're called, but digital streaming platforms. Yeah, because there's so many of them now.
Yeah. What are you rocking?
What am I listening to?
No, are you doing Spotify?
I'm on Apple Music.
Right,
the music app was there, and I just pressed it, and it was like, "Do you want to sign up?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Cool. Yeah.
So how much is that? $9.99.
Yeah. If you'd have told me about 10 years ago that I'd be paying a tenner a month for music, I'd have like spat in your face.
I know.
Like,
do you know what? It's like... so fun, isn't it? Because like when we're all downloading that shit for free and the record companies are like, we've got to find a way of monetizing this. Mm. Everyone's like, good luck, mate.
I like
to see that happen.
It.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
See you later. I mean, don't get me wrong. Nobody's going to be able to afford to make music in a few years, but we don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
We're enjoying it for free now. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they fucking found a way to do it. Yeah. It's
how much do you think though you were spending on music before you could illegally download
zero.
Stuff?
Absolutely zero. A big fantasy.
I'd say I'd spend quite a bit.
Spending my parents' money on music, like, and I didn't even spend that much. But like, I'd always find a way to like get music. I was copying people.
There was stuff
I got like at best £5 pocket money. Yeah. Wait, there was no way I was saving up. There was so much music I wanted to hear. Like, there was no way I was saving each one up individually to try.
But my knowledge of how much money from like my Apple Music subscription is going to these artists, I've got no idea. Yeah, so like when you see these rappers like or any musician come out and go, please download my album from Apple Music. What me downloading the album, I don't know what that translates to.
Yeah, they're saying they've got 7 million streams. What are they?
I know like Spotify, because Spotify have had some heat, haven't they, for like not paying their artists very well.
Well, apparently Tidal's the best one for artists.
Is that right? Oh yeah, of course.
You get paid the most for artists, but nobody uses it. And like I was like when they were like Beyonce's album's only available on Tidal, I was like, well, I guess I'm not listening.
I tried to download it.
Well, I did download Tidal to hear Jay-Z's album.
Which one?
The 444.
Yeah, but that came out like on...
Eventually whatever. It did, yeah. Then I was trapped by Tidal. You know,
No way they were doing that to me, bro. Like, do not hold your album hostage. Like, I'll find a way to do that.
I know.
But it's hip-hop spirit, innit? Rebellious. Like, you tell me to do something. Nah, I'll do it my way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
Do you remember the first hip-hop album you sort of properly started listening to?
Yeah, it was the Marshall Mathers LP. But at the same time, after that, I started listening to so much more. Like, that whole era of, like, Aftermath and Shady and...
Yeah.
Like, you forget how much of a whirlwind it was. And because I was a teenager at the time, it was like, it resonated so much with me. Like, Obi Trice is a platinum-selling artist. Like, fucking hell, bro.
I know, mate. Like, that is,
him and Tony Yayo are platinum-selling artists. Yeah. That should never have been fucking allowed, bro. Obi Trice, real name, no gimmick. Get the fuck out of here.
I know.
But he had, like, one good tune to set up with Nate Dogg in it.
Yes. But got some teeth.
That was awful. That was awful.
We've all got teeth, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully she got some teeth. I was like, Tony Yayo was a platinum seller.
Yeah.
And he got, he had that tune with Joe Thomas, Curious.
Oh,
and he's Yayo. And it was
like, what? I sort of didn't mind Tony Yayo, you know, but the idea of him being a platinum artist is...
It's awful.
It's interesting.
It's awful. Like, you have sold more records than Black Thought.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, I hadn't thought about it like that. And then he fucking was sick in my mouth a little
bit. He came out of prison and he released So Seductive. If you come out of prison, I want to hear like the most stabby gunman music ever allowed, bruv. Like, I don't want to hear Shorty So Seductive dancing on me. Like, no,
maybe
show me why you
love.
Went inside. It's like, you
know, do you know why that is though, okay, isn't it? Because when you're in prison, you're just fucking getting sick.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? You've got so much backed up. You've got so much backed up.
Oh, I thought you were saying he'd fall in love in prison.
Oh, maybe.
You sounded like DMX then. Yeah.
DMX, word up, congratulations, he's free, isn't he?
He's free.
What did he go down for?
For that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think.
That's the best Christmas song of all time. I don't give a fuck what anyone says, man. I remember when that first came out, it was like on 200 views and I was showing everybody like, are you fucking seen this? And I was like, ah, it's best thing ever.
For DMX to have the self-belief that he is hip-hop enough to pull that off.
Yeah.
I mean, but we all know now history has proven him to be correct. But in the midst of that, like, because if you were in an interview, or if you were in, if any of us were in an interview and they said, could you do us a favour? We want to do this thing where you sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You'd be like, I'm going to get fucking rinsed for this. Do you know what I mean?
It's the ad-libs.
Yeah,
where he goes, come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, come on! Had a very shiny nose, yeah! Let it.
Put this little spin on it.
I was like, this is sick!
And what do you make of Eminem now?
He's garbage.
Right.
Absolutely. Like, there's only so much you... Like, when you're in your 40s, man, I still don't want to hear you rapping about, like, arithmetic, like, just shut up, man. And he did that freestyle recently where he was just like... It was like a 12-minute freestyle, and he was just like, dude, like, we get it, you can rap, but what next?
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I want to hear growth in your music. And his last album was good.
This is what Murs had a go at us about, do you remember? Yeah. So Murs came on the podcast.
Yeah.
And he had a go at me in particular because I had said his album, whatever the album was with that Beyonce track on it, what's it called? Anyway, I said it was fucking shit, that whole album. And then he did the album after that, which I thought was better. And then Murs was saying, you have stunted an artist's growth there, because his latest album is like back to what he was doing before. And the previous album with like Beyonce and all that, that was Eminem showing progression, right?
Big man, just give us what we like, innit? Like the last album, the one that had a Joyner Lucas one was a good album.
Yeah.
I got a couple of mentions, still I don't have any manners. You got a couple of ghostwriters, but to these kids it don't actually matter. They're asking me what the fuck happened to hip-hop. I said I don't have any answers, cause I took a nap when I dropped my last album. It hurt me like hell, but I'm back on these rappers. And actually coming from humble beginnings, I'm somewhat uncomfortable winning. I wish I could say what a wonderful feeling. We're on the upswing like we're punching the ceiling, but nothing is feeling like anyone has any fucking ability to even stick to a subject. It's killing me, the inability to pin humility. Why don't we make a bunch of fucking songs about nothing and mumble and fuck it? I'm going for the juggler. Shit is a circus, you clowns that are coming up. Don't give an ounce of a motherfucker about the ones who are here before you.
So the one before that,
yeah.
But what Murs,
the one before that with the Trump stuff, and it, like, that totally backfired. Like, he thought, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to do this BET freestyle.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a go at Trump. Trump's going to reply. My record sales are going to go through the roof. Trump didn't give a shit.
No.
And he was like, fuck, I'm on this anti-Trump thing. His whole album's like a fucking anti-Trump, like, manifesto. And it's like, no one cares, bro. Like, people are doing lean.
That car park, I didn't like the car park thing. I've gone on record as saying that.
Yeah. What
the fuck?
This weird painted on
just
beard.
Just employed some black guy to stand in the background, sort of co-signing him.
It's just Royce the 5'9" there, like going, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Just after Zara, we're going to have to tell him he killed this, aren't we? God.
But the thing is, with Eminem, I feel like it got to a stage where it was like, okay, we get it, like, you're rapping about drugs, and everybody else started taking drugs.
Yeah.
And it was like, your USB's gone. Because he was the first rapper that sort of made taking drugs.
Pills and shit.
Yeah, taking drugs. Like, you know, before it was like, your rappers were the ones selling them, not taking them.
Yeah.
And now everybody's the one taking. And Eminem was probably the first one to start making it cool. Like, if you listen to Purple Pills and all of that stuff back in the day. And it's like, now, okay, what's your narrative? Now you're sober. You've got nothing to talk about anymore. He's amazing. Don't get me wrong. Lyrically, he's amazing. But even I was disappointed with that diss track against Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
It was just so, like, lackluster. I was like, where's the...
It was weird, wasn't it? And then he threw that, tried to open up the whole Tupac Biggie thing there at the end. It was a weird one. It was a weird one.
What else can he do?
Should I tell you something? He should retire.
Yeah.
That's what he should do. He doesn't need to make any more money from this. Do you know what I mean? Like, just fucking relax.
No, but do you know, do you know what pisses me off about him? There's a documentary where he's talking about, like, his favourite artists. Like, he's talking about, like everybody that inspired him. Like, even people like MC8 and shit.
Yeah.
And you're like... This guy really loves hip hop, but then, like, it's like, why don't you try and get like an album with like premiere beats or something?
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
That's like, a progression.
Well, that's the thing. Different. You do make a good point, because the truth is, He doesn't need his albums to be big now.
Exactly.
Right? He's made enough. So why don't you just fucking make a record you really want to make?
Go fuck around with Alchemist.
Yeah.
The guy fucking DJs point. For it's you at sometimes, man. Yeah. Just fucking go be like, yo, do you want to go to the studio after? And he's out here like, because his production sometimes are absolutely garbage, right? Like, it's just like always like, bum, 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 bum. But and then like the melody will come in like even more deep, and then he would just like try and rap like 75 bars in like 30
I'm
seconds.
I'm also not a massive fan of him singing on the hook. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
My life would be so much better.
Daddy, go buy you a mockingbird. Fuck out of here with that shit, man. I mean, the fact that he bought 50 Cent in.
Yeah.
I mean, like that provided a whole entertaining era of hip-hop.
50 Cent on Instagram now.
Fucking best human being on
Instagram. Oh, my God.
Did that Ja Rule thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wait till he watches the Fire Festival documentary. Because you know Ja Rule was involved with that. Yeah, I've seen that. I just cannot wait till 50 Cent picks up on it like 6 months later.
Well, Ja Rule, have you watched that Fire Festival documentary?
Yeah, it's insane. So he gets away with a lot, doesn't he?
Who, Ja Rule does? Yeah, and also, like, you seen it, Kay, right?
Of course.
So, like, the bit where they're having the little press, the conference call.
After the event, doing a sort of post.
And then Ja Rule is going...
We can salvage it!
Yeah.
We're fam!
Yeah.
We can put a spin on this. You're like, no, I don't think so, mate.
Nothing that bad went down. Nobody died.
No one's saying anything back, are they?
And just everyone's just like, I couldn't believe it. He's here on a conference call just telling us it's okay.
Yeah. So, and then I've seen a statement from Ja Rule saying that he was a victim of a scam as well. I mean, come on, mate.
Yeah, he's there.
Come on, Ja Rule.
But the thing is, like, nothing Ja Rule has put his name to has ever lasted.
No, that's
so
true.
It's like even Murder Inc. had to change their name to
Murder
Inc.
Yeah. Bobby Brown's teeth. Like everything just fell away, man.
What was your favourite Ja Rule song, if there is one?
Jesus. Living It Up was alright, I guess.
Do you know what the intro to that dun, 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 I want that to be like, you know, when I die and there's like the pallbearers, like I want them to bring me out to that, like that intro be like dun, 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 dun.
When he first performed with J-Lo on some, I think it might be MTV Awards, it was fucking, it's worth a watch. For like how that man's voice live
is it
your lips? Whoa! And the way you know. Someone get this man some cowpole. This is like
cowpole.
Hey, Ja Rule, you heard a throat coat? You need to get some, bro.
But although, do you remember New York? That tune?
Yeah.
That was a tune to me. Like,
it wasn't like look, he was all. He had a lane, and he for a while he was one of the top in that kind of like catchy hook.
But it was like if you get the New York song and take his verse off of it and just keep Fat Joe and Jadakiss on it, it's a really good hip hop record.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just mad. Did you ever hear the British version of that New York song?
No.
They had Sway, Baby Blue, and Bruiser. Do you remember Bruiser? Get me!
Oh yeah, I do.
Get me!
Yeah. He sounds like a bruiser.
Oh mate, I don't know where he is now, but it was just like the lyrics were like I remember Sway going, the pound is stronger than the dollar. Holla! This.
Pound is stronger than the dollar, I told you. This is my promo, mixtape I sold you. British like Tony Blair. The only difference is he's bisexual and I'm bi-coastal. I'm sick of flipping yanks always trying to come over here. They keep visiting like someone's bum lives over here. We should beat them up on Slappy Happy TV till they finally get the message that they don't come over here.
That was the first bite he came in.
I do remember that line.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Like, but you know, and then,
I love Sway, man.
Sway was really good. This is my demo. Yeah. That was the thing I listened to. Like, I used to be a massive fan of UK hip hop, but I think once New York sort of lost their influence in the hip hop game, British hip hop, in that sense, lost its sort of way as well. Because I used to listen to Low Key and Doc Brown, like when the Poisonous Person, all those guys. I went like the Key to the Game mixtapes that Low Key had, and he had a track called London. When I listened back to it, it was so awful. By the time it's like £1.20 for the bus in London, we don't just pound, we spud in London. Like, do you know what I mean? And you listen to Low Key now, and it's like a completely
different.
Yeah, it's completely different. And then what's it? There was a guy called Shameless.
Yeah.
And they all used to have that bar where it was like trapped in a system of capitalism, thinking that I need. To certain things to have a certain standard of living. It was like, bruv, you lot are milking this bar, innit? Like every single UK hip-hop artist outside Deal Real Records. that fucking bar. And then, but I was a massive fan of Doc Brown. That's why when I saw Doc doing comedy,
yeah,
I was like, what the fuck's going on here? It would be like if I saw like Chance the Rapper doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was like, what the fuck's going on, bruv? Like you made superstar music.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was gassed. I saw it like Adagio with the violins and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was seeing him do like, it blew my mind. That's why the first time I gigged with him, I gigged with him like a fan. I was like, I'm fucking gigging with Doc Brown.
Yeah.
I was so gassed, but yeah.
He killed it though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Did you listen to Stemma?
No, I think I listened to a couple of tracks. I didn't really get into it like much. Yeah. But Doc can rap, man. Doc's a fucking beast anyway.
But yeah, I think you're right in terms of like UK hip hop felt most aligned with East Coast.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then the But UK hip hop's in good health now, huh?
The South ruined hip hop. They fucking ruined it. Soulja Boy and all Stanky Leg and all that shit. Yeah. I was like, get the once that happened and you heard like I stopped listening to hip hop for a while, like after I think 2007 when like Mims, This Is Why I'm Hot,
yeah,
came number one. I was like, all right, well, it's time for me to take a break from
you ducking
shit
out.
Yeah, I was just like,
yeah.
Nah, I'm alright. Yeah. And I started just listening to UK stuff.
Like I did sort of get annoyed because I remember like when like because there was initially I was all about East Coast hip hop and then like you sort of widen your and then like when the and I remember thinking, I wonder what's going to happen with flows and stuff going forward. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like it was getting. A lot of their little sort of backpack rappers were like doing super complicated like multi-syllabics and all that shit. And then when Master P came out and all that,
yeah,
I just remember thinking, what the fuck, man? Like I just like I was so
No Limit. And
just like it's just I just thought it was all shit, to be honest with you. Like I was really like down on it. And then I started to. There is Southern stuff that I think is great, obviously, but all of that No Limit.
I mean, that's
stuff.
What you have to say, but like in deep down, deep down. You don't like Lil Wayne in it. Like, let's just be real in it. Like, you
well,
don't...
I when the Carter 3 came out and everyone was raving to me about it, because I'm like, I was a bit snobby about it. And they're going, you listen to it. I mean, can I see some appeal in it? Yeah, I mean, he's not as bad as some. He's like, he does, but am I into it?
He made Babyface sound like a ringtone artist.
That's true.
Like,
yeah,
don't
that's
do
true.
That to me,
that
bro.
Is
like,
true. That
like,
is true.
And, when you see all these littles that have come out, it's all Lil Wayne's fault.
Yeah.
All of them got tattoos on their faces.
His little legacy is
it's fucking unbelievable. Yeah. Like, why don't you go and look at Outkast? No, they're all fucking looking at Lil Wayne. And
I know.
Like, I don't know, man. Maybe I sound old, but like the hip hop was like a lot of East Coast music. Like, and then like what in 2005 when I was like 15, my two favorite albums were The Game, the documentary.
Mate. What an album.
Yeah, it was like, and I'm like 15 at the time doing like my GCSEs. I'm in English and I'm just like.
No More Fun and Games.
Oh my God. No More Fun and Games.
Oh man.
Gangster, gangster, it's already evident. With an attitude, check, check, my residence.
That is a fucking track.
It's irrelevant.
I'm with the DOC. There's nobody better than the West Coast fella when he on that low rider bike pedaling. Somebody tell Easy they still yelling it. I'm with your homie Doc Dre on the television while these niggas moving peanuts like an elephant. I'm on cars like spinning rims. I'm in the class all by myself like the brown Eminem. Not to down Eminem, I fuck black bitches. Fuck white bitches, nigga, I like bitches. Them having
that album, I used to be able to recite every word for word.
Yeah.
Apart from track 12, Running with Tony Yayo on it, I'd skip that.
And that's weird, you don't like that, yeah.
Poor old Tony. Fuck yeah. Anything I saw Yayo on, I was.
I said,
like,
fuck chill!
Oh my God! Oh, that track with Eminem on there as well, We Ain't.
Yeah.
Banger.
Yeah. That whole album's great.
Yeah, man. That whole album was incredible. And I remember listening to it going, this is fucking amazing. Hate It or Love It.
Yeah.
Higher.
Yeah.
Dreams. West Side Story, even West Side Story was incredible.
It was, I mean, remember he got a lot of shit for all the name drops on that album.
Yeah, well, I mean, The Game as a person, I've never liked The Game as a
he's
human
being. He's got kind of a corny vibe about him.
Yeah, very. And he's also, but he's never put out a bad album.
No. Like, and he's put out a lot of albums.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, you could go to any of The Game's albums and you find, they're not shit.
And he can rap, but.
They might not be your favourite. But he's prolific, man. Yeah. Like, he's put out a lot of fucking great shit. I don't know why I said prolific, then define prolific.
But there's always, like, a reference to Impala and 6'4s in every fucking album. That I mean, once you get past that. But, like, even his diss tracks, right? When I heard 300 Bars and Running for the first time, I was like, this is mental.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing this? Like flowing over so many different beats and you've done like 100 bars and running 200. I was just like in awe of everything. Yeah, yeah. And then my other favorite album that year was Common B.
Yeah.
So like
it's a great album.
The two different ends of the spectrum was kind of like my the way I listened to hip hop back then as well. Like I'd either like melodic things like that, like Reflection Eternal with Talib and that, or I want like stab your brain with your nose bone.
I totally understand that. It's like that's kind of actually sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of like that's why hip hop is such. You can say I only listen to hip hop.
Yeah,
and that's fine because, like you just said, like Common, and The Game, like two like
polar opposites.
Those aren't the same types of music. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
It's mad, man.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip hop album?
So, would you say you got a favorite of all time album?
Favorite album of all time? I can't pick, man.
Yeah.
Oh, like if you were telling me to, I have to live with one album. Yeah. Like, there's no fucking way that.
You just kill yourself.
Basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, there were like especially that period. I mean, a lot of our favorite music is to do with nostalgia. Like, let's not beat around the bush. Yeah. Like, when you see kids my age going, "No, bro, I'm a fan of Rakim," I'm like, "You're lying, bro." It's like there was no possible way to get hold of Rakim. Yeah. Like, oh no, AZ was the best. Like, you listened to the format and that was it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there was nothing. So like that whole era of like from like the 2000s, like there was so much music that I resonate with. Even like D Block, like Sheik Looch had he released an album called After Taxes. And the intro to that is quite possibly one of the most violent things I've ever heard in my life, right? But I wouldn't give it up for the world, man. Yeah. Like, if I could never listen to that again, I don't know what I'd do. When he's like, clack, clack, motherfuckers. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay.
We're gonna try this one more time. Back, motherfuckers, get the Mac, motherfuckers. Pull it out the trunk, clack, clack, motherfuckers. I told y'all to walk with me, drop something sick on it. And I ain't put no one but my motherfucking click on it. No R&B, I ain't had no one fucking chick on it. These other niggas' songs, jail niggas beat their dick on it. Now I got a couple guests, friends got a couple less. I don't give a fuck, my bullets going through a couple vests.
Bad though, like, because that's good when you listen to it on your own, but then like when you're trying to convince someone that hip hop's grown up music and then like something like that
you play them other stuff, man.
Like, yeah, but then like, but then every now and again that'll come on and then just like
oh, what, when you're on shuffle
like, yeah.
I mean, I think I'm big,
yeah. And then Lisa look at me like you're a grown up, man.
You should play some Common.
Yeah, that's
just
true. Common is grown-up hip-hop.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Common is like when you like you could get a girl into the mood listen to The Light.
Yeah, yeah, the light. The light is
there. There are times. And you're like, how you doing? When you need someone. So I was thinking. And we'll be by your side. Yeah. Amazing. Like,
there is a light that shines. Oh my god.
La like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute. Wrote this letter and finally decide to send it. Sign, sealed, delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limit. Let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what studs did to you. I ain't gonna sod them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some niggas recognize your life but they can handle the glare.
I'm in the mood now. Just listening to
mate.
So when I was doing the Pleasance Reserve in 2016, I was doing it with Jack Carroll, Tom Lucy and Alistair Beckett King.
Okay.
And I was in charge of the music that people came into.
Right.
So there's no fucking way I was letting Alistair Beckett King be in charge of the playlist.
What would he play?
Sorry?
What would he bust it
up? I don't know, man.
I'm sure. It'd be something medieval, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
And I love these guys, innit? But I was just like, the thing was, Jack Carroll was a massive hip hop fan as well.
Right.
Like, so he
was Tom
like,
Lucy.
Yeah.
So
he was listening to Phil Collins in the flat. Like, there was no, like, when he tried to come on here saying he was a Tribe Called Quest fan, I was like, you're chatting shit, bruv. Like, I was in the gym listening to that podcast, and I was like, this guy is a fraud. But yeah, shout out to Tom Lucy. I love Tom as a person, but like that when
you're a fucking liar, Tom. That's not Kason.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hip hop. I'm just salty because he beat me in a roast battle.
Oh, yeah. How was Roast Battle?
I didn't do the thing. We did one and he fucking murdered me at Angel Comedy Club.
He murdered you?
He fucking killed me. Like, but that's a different story. Like, I came up like thinking, oh, it's one joke versus one joke. The guy had 5 minutes for every round and I was just like...
Oh, you didn't realise that was what was going to happen?
Yeah.
So he did one joke and then stood there in silence for 4.5 minutes.
Essentially, and I died, but he got me, like, fair enough. But yeah, fuck your hip hop taste, innit? That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. You've got him back now.
Yeah. But yeah, when, at a Pleasant Reserve, I was in charge of the.
So what were you playing?
I was playing The Light. The Light was coming on. Yeah. I've thrown in a bit of Craig David because I was like, I can't give them too much of thing. Because I remember I was supporting Dane Baptiste on tour,
yeah.
And Dane had like Blazer 50. Like coming out to talk, it's like, bruv, we're in the Epsom Art Centre, bruv. Mm. Like,
I've had that at some of my gigs. People complain about swearing in the music because there's a lot of hip hop.
Mate, I've had that.
Yeah, they're like, someone left at a Rich Mix show before it started.
Left?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Genuinely, yeah. Because they didn't appreciate the swearing. Bro,
but do you know what though? I'm happy when people leave like that because I'm like, you're not my kind of person anyway. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna be offended by someone saying fucking shit, then you don't want to see my comedy.
That's the truth, isn't it?
I don't understand it. It's like, I get it if you choose not to swear or you choose not to listen to stuff with swearing in, but like, it's not, what's it doing to you? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you hit, I don't know. I don't get it, man. I think swearing's great.
Well, this research shows people that swear are more honest.
Yeah, there you go. Fuck. Yeah, you fucking lying, dishonest little fucking
prick
cunts
squares.
That walks out of fucking Rich Mix. Fucking lying to yourselves, you little rat cunt. Hope you fucking listen to this.
We should beep all this.
And realise what a fucking dishonest, you don't even fucking really love each other, cunt.
I think they were just friends.
Were they just friends? Yeah, no, well, there you go, that proves it. Not even friends. A friendship ain't real, you fucking rats. Rat cunts. Yeah? Come at me.
But you know what's so funny? When I've been looking at like UK hip hop, like drill music doesn't have that much swearing in it when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just like Ops got splash, bada bada bat, da bat. Like bada bada bat, bada bada bat, bada bada. Like, do you know what I mean? There's no like real swearing into it, but it's like it's a much more American thing. But even like Grime doesn't have like, it's like, I'm a big man, but I'm not. There's not really that much swearing in it.
That is true, actually. I'm trying to think of the stuff.
We've got that British upper.
We've gone past that, loads of swearing though. Even though I know the American stuff's got swearing in it, but. There was a phase years ago when it was like...
Well, it was a good selling point, wasn't it?
Yes.
But it was a parental advisory.
But now that's not the thing anymore.
Don't show them any Pharaoh Munch, because people will lose their minds.
I
have that playing in Richmond. Simon says, shut the fuck up!
I think it might be. That's definitely on the playlist.
Get the fuck up! Simon says, get the fuck up! Throw your hands in the sky! We just in the back sipping yak, y'all, what's up? Girls, rub on your titties. Yeah, I said it, rub on your titties. New York City, pretty committee, pity the fool that acts shitty in the midst of the calm, the witty.
It's funny that Pharoah Munch song, because he goes, girls, rub on your titties. Yeah, I said it, fuck it, rub on your titties, right? And then he says later on, some even make you say the song is sexist because I ask the girls to rub on the breasts. And then he doesn't follow that argument up at all. Because I was thinking to myself, Pharoah Munch is an intelligent dude, right? Yeah. So he's gone, some are saying...
Too intelligent at times.
Yeah, yeah. So they're saying the song is sexist. Mm. And then, but then he doesn't say why it isn't. He just goes, some people might say the song is sexist because I asked the girls to rub out the breasts. This is for either Rollies or Time Exorcist. And then he just goes on to something else. Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you're not going to address it.
Like, somebody else mentioned on this podcast that Desire was one of their favourite songs. And I fucking hated them because I was like, that's one of my favourite songs.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Pharoah Munch is, can we just say, one of the greatest.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
And
of course,
if you don't think, if Pharoah Munch is not in your top five, you're a fucking idiot.
But it was like, there's even lines in there that you listen back 2 years later and you go, fuck, that's what he meant. Like, and I didn't get it at the time. Like, he goes, still get it popping without artists and repertoire, Munches and Monarch only minus the A&R.
I love,
and I was like, oh my God.
I love.
If you take A&R, right, at Monarch, it spells Munch. Fucking hell, this guy.
I know, it's fucking next level.
Yeah, that
man.
Whole, and it like, but there was one metaphor in there where I was like, you can do better.
Well, it's because the metaphors are like, it's a high wire act.
Yeah, but.
It's either going to sound amazing or just.
No,
like,
but when he goes, my book is the ovary, the pages I love to turn, my pen is the penis, when I write, the ink is the sperm.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, big man, you could have done something better than that. Like,
and also the visual on that is
I was just imagining a guy jizzing over paper.
Just Pharoah Munch and just sitting right. Just, next bar.
Desire. That's what we're going to call this.
Pharoah Munch is amazing.
But there's a lot of UK artists that are probably like on that level, I think, that we don't give them credit for as well.
Okay, like who?
I think if you look at Rich, 3-2's Fire in the Booths, yeah, or Akala.
Yeah.
At time. But the thing is, like, I love Akala to bits, but there's some times where it's like, okay, bro, like, in 1500, there was a Nigerian boat that... you're like, I love Akala, but it's like sometimes, you know, when you, like, it's like some comedians, when they make you feel too stupid, you're like, all right, big man, just turn this off right now. Like, do you know about Mansa Musa? He was the most richest man in the earth. Like, oh, these aren't his lyrics, but yeah, like, I'm kind of like, I'm just for comic effect. But like, it's like, you're like, come on, man. Like, just, you're making me feel too stupid right now.
I know what you're saying.
But my favorite UK rapper of all time would have been Kano.
Really?
Yeah, Kano. Kano was...
Shubs.
Still is.
Like, Kano. Yeah, Kano. I remember I was an intern at Radio 1 on 1 Extra one time.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, for like 2 months.
What was that like, doing that?
Yeah, it was brilliant when I was there. Like, I got to see... But I saw Kano, and I remember it was the only time I'd ever been starstruck in my life.
Like, what was he like to chat to?
I didn't chat to him. I was too scared. Like, it wasn't even scared. It was more like, fuck, that's Kano. Like, he was in some leather jacket in Jordan 3s, and I was just like, oh. And I just nodded at him, and he nodded back, and I was like, yeah, okay, that's it. But that was, like, before I was doing stand-up properly and stuff. But, yeah, Kano, man, like, when it, like, that tune Signs in Life, Ghetto Coyote, P's and Q's. But, like, the first time I heard P's and Q's, it was one of the most surreal experiences of my life, man.
Some manners don't like me, they try and bad mind me. When Kano comes to town, all I say is mine's right, and they lose the limelight when Kano comes around. Some chaps screw me or even see me, but it don't work because the crowd don't boo me. You ain't a true G, I'm too deep, how can Kano stay on the ground? I ain't like most that roll around and kick shit off, I hold it down. But we're still gully, the only pop you'll hear from us is pop, pop, pop them out. Act up and get boxed in the mouth, cause you're just playing a gangster. You been never weighed it out, fought about, so you been never hit no blocks in your mouth.
Oh man, hip hop gripes.
Okay, so is there anything you don't like about hip hop?
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody comes on here and goes, "Oh, the misogyny is really bad."
That's because that's what you love.
Like, that's what everybody has to be like. I fucking love. No, I'm joking. I don't like.
I love it. You love it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. So we sort of started this up again.
Well, actually, it is how it started. I remember we were sitting there just going, "This fucking
somebody needs to
sort of celebrate their misogyny."
I don't think it gets celebrated enough. Yeah. Actually, yeah. No, I mean, I hate the fact that people say things like, "This is chestnut checkers." It's like that line needs to fucking die now. Like, especially when I'm hearing like 19-year-olds now rapping about it, and you're like, there is no fucking way you know both of those board games.
Like, yeah, nobody's like, really. Are people playing board games now? I play board games at my house.
The only people I know that are good at board games, any of my friends that are good at board games, have spent times in Young Offenders Institute.
Right. Okay.
Because I
got into chess because Wu-Tang. Would always
is this a true story?
I would play at uni, yeah. We play chess because
purely because of Wu-Tang.
Yeah, yeah.
A game of chess is like a sword fight. You must think first before you move.
Roar, I'ma give it to you with no trivia. Roll like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation.
But those rappers were smart, innit? Like, you're not gonna get Little Pump going.
I never played checkers.
Who does it? It's not a UK thing. So when I hear UK artists,
is that the
going,
one when you're...
Yeah, like, it's like King Me. Like, yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
But then you're slightly constrained by rhyming, aren't you? Like, do you know what I mean? Like you have
this is chess, not backgammon.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it doesn't sort of. It's like, who is it? Somebody, I read something about they're pointing out how so many lyrics are stupid purely because of the rhyme thing. Like, for example, when Lenny Kravitz says, oh, I wish I could fly, just like a dragonfly, so very high. And you think, I mean, dragonflies are notoriously low flyers. I mean, it's one thing that they hover almost at the ground. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's an insane analogy to make. You know what I mean?
But I hate when people like change the way a word sounds. To make it rhyme.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
Orange. Like, yeah.
We'll do it.
So orange, bruv. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, having said that though, have you noticed? Well, I say have you noticed, like it's only just happened in the last few months, it's been happening for years. But like, a lot of rappers don't rhyme now, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They'll say, I don't know.
I said home on the desk.
Yeah, I'll
be sitting in a vest.
Yeah, exactly. So that where a lot of the, like, you hear someone spit like a really fast like verse, and we actually listen to it, and not all of the words rhyme.
Busta Rhymes back in the day, like, I don't know what the fuck Busta Rhymes is.
Yeah, it's like they've stopped. There's just only so many words you can get to.
But there's a lot of white rappers that do that.
You think so? White
rappers love to like pack a bar full of rhymes.
Yeah.
Like if you think of Eminem, Devlin, like, okay, G-Eazy, they try to like pack a bar. It's like I think there's like a inferiority complex where they're like, no, I've got to show these guys I can rap. And it's like, big man, we get it. Just rap on beat.
That's true, actually. That's true.
It's just like...
Have you seen the video? There's this video going around Facebook at the moment. Because I think they're like some country rock outfit. This woman, Jen something, has done a cover of No Diggity, right?
Don't.
And so this guy that's done a video on it, just like, what the fuck are you doing to No Diggity? But it's worth watching this video purely because of her doing the rap. You know the rap on that?
Yeah.
She does it. It's fucking unbelievable. In fact, let's drop it in now. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homies got at me. Collab creations bump like acne. No doubt, I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me ass out. Tell me who could stop a Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet. Giving them eargasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original rump shakers.
Sure to get down.
What are you listening to at the moment? We're almost out. We've got to wrap it up. Yeah.
We've got to wrap it up. What am I listening to at the moment? Loads of stuff. Blade Brown, Heady One, all of that crap. And then, actually, today I downloaded. Who did I download? Avenue's album.
Yeah.
It's called, here it is, Avenue, Nightfall. Okay. Avenue and Dion Chase.
I'm watching niggas out of fall, but they playing me close. Always the people that be broke, that be saying the most. They say that pressure burst pipes, and I ain't saying they don't. But pressure also makes diamonds, they can say what they want. Listen, shit is different in the end. I can feel it. Objects in this mirror closer, they appear, so I'm concealing. There's a science to the way that I move. Me and the squad like the 96 Bulls, and I flow like the Ashen on cruise.
And what are you listening to very much at the moment?
I've been going back because I've got all my old vinyl out.
Yeah?
Just been listening to a lot of, you know, mid-90s. I've been listening to a lot of Keith Murray.
Have you?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
God, fantabulous wordplay vocabulous.
Stick my dick in the ground, turn the whole world around.
Yeah.
Really relate.
I mean that his penis, regardless of how well endowed is not a sufficient pivot for the planet Earth. You're not going to get the purchase required, are you?
All that almond milk he's been drinking.
There was an obsession with like sucking dick in hip hop sometimes. Yeah. Like gap tooth in your mouth for my dick got to fit. Yeah. And, like,
saying to somebody suck my dick as an insult.
As a cut.
It's difficult to
mind it.
Did you see when Tory Lanez said it to Royce da 5'9"s recently?
No. What did he say?
And Royce da 5'9" was like, remember, you said it, not me. And like, as in like, he was just basically like, if Royce is saying that, he knows like, when I see you, it's on, innit? Like, you see when someone, like, if you tweet something...
So does that mean that Royce of 5'9", the next time he sees Tory Lanez, is going to go,
no,
on,
he
bro.
Crushed it because he tweeted it afterwards. And it was
right.
It was like back in the day whenever I saw people beef low-key would just Twitter him, on Twitter, just be like, DM.
Yeah,
and then everyone would like, and then they'd be like, no, me and low-key talk to over locals. Low-key's a cool guy.
Good strategy.
You know what I mean? It's just hilarious to me.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, with everybody that you see that just goes, cool.
Yeah.
Be scared, innit?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If a man doesn't come back going, no, your mum, like, he's on stuff, innit?
Yeah.
Like,
all right, mate, cool. Yeah. We'll talk about it when I see you.
Oh, boy.
What have I've been listening to? The Method Man album.
Is it good?
There's a new one.
Meth Lab 2. It came at the end of last year. It's all right. Chris Webby album is fine. The Meek Mill album's all right. I'll tell you what I really like, the Earl Sweatshirt album. Have you heard it?
No, is it good?
Some rap songs. It's fucking weird.
Brody on a corner with a piece on his hip. Give a warning for you blow it in the sky. Tiptoeing over mortar and a brick. Bumping shoulders with the devil in disguise. Shoulder level water on the rise. Twist 40s in the morning in the winter. I heard you got your sauce at the Enterprise. Evidently it was rented, but it's mine.
J-Rock's album last year was good as well.
Yeah.
People are saying we need to make a list of all these things, don't
you? Do you know one of the best
else can do it.
Yeah.
One of the best songs that I've listened to in the last few years is probably A Beautiful Life by Static Selector and Action Bronson.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Like, if you listen to that when the sun's out.
Yeah.
I've been down, but never been out. Around the world since I've been out. Now about to fuck around, pull the pin out. Cause kids need clothes on their back. And daddy needs new ghost spokes on the lack. I still posing for flicks, holding my dickhead. At the table, ripping bread with my day ones. Ain't shit changed, dog. I got got the same number, just a little bit of money, it's the fame, huh? The hunger.
Yeah, I mean, I probably need to go to LA to fully take it in, but it was like,
but no, I still work in Croydon or wherever. I think
Croydon is where plastic bags go to die.
Right, listen, Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on,
thank you for having me.
Best guest we've ever had?
100%. Did you? Is there anything you wanted to push?
I was about. Don't fucking. No, don't about. Ask it like I was about to not out. Do it.
I've just never seen it done that way around.
No, but don't fucking make it out like I wasn't about to give the guy the opportunity, man.
Is this a battle now?
It's not a battle. Do you know what I mean?
Stop trying to produce me. I know what I'm doing.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. Let's do it again.
No, it's fine. Why don't you ask the question?
What are you up to, man?
What am I up to? Well, just follow me at KKurd, KAEKURD. There's some exciting stuff happening. I'm previewing a new show. But I've got an exciting announcement coming up middle of February as well.
You're switching from almond milk to oat milk.
I'll tell you off air. That's right. Okay. Yeah, cool. And I am switching to oat milk from almond milk. Okay. That is a big
exclusive thing.
Yeah. But also listen to my podcast as well, Quarters Full. There's a lot of black and brown comedians. If you like chat like this, we call ourselves Comedians Unfiltered. So.
Comedians Unfiltered, there you go. Yeah. It's well worth a listen to that podcast. And Kay, if you haven't seen him live, like, he's fucking, yeah. He's amazing. So it's definitely worth checking him out. Rue Madge, you got anything you want to fucking plug?
No, I'm good. Just this.
It's
just
okay.
Good to be back.
It's great to be back, man. And yeah. We're going to be back.
We can't plug the Brighton show because that's sold out.
I've got a lot. Well, actually,
you're fucking selling out everything, innit?
Innit, mate?
You lot are like the Joe Budden podcast.
If you book small enough venues, you can sell them out.
then you can just still.
We're
sell
doing a 10 seater in Scunthorpe. It's fucking mental.
Anyway, that's it. We're out. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.